got going on. I won't let you demons. I won't let you demons take my soul. You demons won't take my soul away. I won't let you demons take my soul. Why am I here? I just want to talk to my mom and dad. What's going on?
To tell you, I know he has to be punished and for his actions. And I love him, and his family love him very much, too. And I know we're a very large Christian family, and we pray all the time.
It's time for another episode of Coffee Time with Lynn from my kitchen. Although, of course, today I don't have coffee. I have water. So maybe we should call it Water Time with Lynn then, not Coffee Time, right? Because I'm drinking H2O. I've had enough coffee today. Like, I don't want any more coffee, and it's a hot day. And I guess I should have recorded this morning when I first woke up. But quite honestly, my brain does not work when I first wake up. You guys definitely would not want to talk to me when I'm brain dead, trust me. And that's me in the morning, like a walking zombie. Today we've got an interesting little conversation. I try to keep these videos short because they're different than the Bible studies. So just try to make it fairly short as I can. But I want to know your guys' opinion. And this is something that's very sensitive and very difficult, especially when it involves children. Jesus commanded us to witness and to visit those who are in prison. In fact, he said, when you visit those who are in prison, you are visiting me or doing it for him. I'll show you that on the screen. But what if it involves a crime done to a child? I mean, most of us out there watching this video are parents. Like, the thought of anything to do with your child is just horrendous. In fact, my good friend Greg Baker, he lost his daughter like 26 or 27 years ago now. She was out walking her dog and disappeared. Come to find out, she was killed. They still have not found her remains. She was 9 years old when it happened. So this type of subject is very difficult, and rightfully so for him. Now, what's interesting is Paul was a murderer of Christians. We know a lot of Christian persecutions involved entire families, including children. It is not recorded as to whether or not there were children involved, but Paul was a persecutor and murderer of Christians. King David murdered Bathsheba's husband, had him murdered. He was responsible for it after he committed adultery with Bathsheba and found out she was pregnant. I mean, you have all sorts of stuff in the Bible like that, but yet God loved Paul very much. And look what God did with Paul. And God also loved King David very, very much. Now, there's a fine line. Do we be stupid necessarily and release a lot of these people who have done heinous things back into society? No, I don't believe so. In fact, they have a lot of them where child predators get released, and 9 times out of 10, they do it again. And each time they do something, it's usually worse and worse and worse. But what we're talking about is a little bit different. So what if it's another kid that commits the crime against a kid? What if? So you can like go to videos like that where people do different YouTube videos on it or news articles. And of course, everyone is condemning that kid. Again, rightfully so in the flesh. Condemning the kid, wishing death upon them. In most states, anyone under the age of 18 cannot be given the death sentence. They can be given life in prison, but not the death sentence. So are we supposed to, as Christians, according to the Bible, have mercy on murderers and have mercy on those who commit heinous crimes, especially against children? And how do we do that? How do we muster enough love and compassion in ourselves when those things just utterly disgust us? They terrify us. We don't even like to see the news, many of us. If you're like me, you don't like to see the news about stuff like that. You don't like to hear about things like that. It just burns into your mind because it is just so horrific. I know Jesus commands us to pray for others, including our enemies, but he also says to visit those in prison. Let's have a look real quick. So right here, regarding prisoners and offenders, visiting and caring for the imprisoned is directly linked to serving Jesus himself. In the parable of the sheep and the goats, Matthew chapter 25, 31 through 46, Jesus states that when we visit those in prison, we are visiting him. The parable emphasizes showing compassion and extending help to those in need, including the imprisoned. While not specifically directed at prisoners, Jesus' teachings on forgiveness are broadly applicable to how we should treat offenders in general. He advocates for unlimited forgiveness when someone repents. It is important to note that while Jesus promotes mercy and forgiveness, the Bible also acknowledges the role of justice and consequences for actions. In essence, Jesus encourages his followers to extend compassion, forgiveness, and practical support to those in prison, seeing it as serving him directly. He also strongly condemns murder, considering even anger to be a serious issue. Yes, Jesus compares anger to murder. But what about in a case like this? Let's have a look. Here's a kid named Aiden. This happened back in 2021, I think it was. 2021. Yeah, it's right there in front of my face on the screen. He was 14 years old when he committed the crime. He claimed to have heard voices in his head. He was even seen on camera when he didn't know he was being watched, battling with demons. And he's a kid. He did something horrendous to another teenage girl. There was no motive other than he just wanted to kill somebody. And it involved hundreds of knife wounds in which they ended up finding her body. So right here, his ex-girlfriend shared with the police that he drew graphic pictures depicting mutilated bodies. He claimed to hear voices in his head when he was angry. The voices would tell him he was worthless and a disappointment. And the voices would tell him to kill people when he is angry. Now, as Christians, we know directly that our battle is not against flesh and blood, but it's spiritual things. Obviously, this kid is demon-possessed. In other words, it's not really him, but it's these demonic spirits in him controlling him. Does that mean he shouldn't be punished in the flesh for the sins he committed in the flesh? No, he should be punished in this world for what he did. Absolutely. His girlfriend, Zofie, stated Aiden knew something was wrong with him and wanted to reach out for help. So she states that he admitted that he had something wrong with him and wanted help. Now, the girl that was murdered was not his girlfriend. She was just a classmate. They had no problems together. He lured her out to the woods late at night and then stabbed her multiple times with a knife. So let's take a listen real quick at some of this video, just for a moment.
In a room by himself, Aiden Fucci picks up a phone during court. He looks around aimlessly. He is then heard making comments about demons.
What you got going on? I don't want to let you demons take my soul. You demons will take my soul away. I won't let you demons steal my soul.
Fucci continues rocking back and forth, flipping his hair back, appearing to not know where he is.
What's going on? Why am I here? I just want to talk to my mom and dad. What's going on? What's going on?
I spoke with Dr. Justin DiRenzo, a forensic psychologist who is not affiliated with this case.
He definitely looked disoriented and confused. It's hard to know whether he's feigning mental illness or if something's really happening with him. From my perspective, it seemed genuine given that pattern of behavior today and then what else we know.
Fucci is accused of stabbing his schoolmate, Tristan Bailey, more than 100 times, killing her before she was reported missing. Her body was found on Mother's Day. Records show Fucci had a notebook with satanic drawings. His girlfriend told investigators he would hear voices in his head that would tell him to kill people. Dr. DiRenzo says Fucci's previous patterns of behavior will likely play a part in this case.
To tell you, I know he has to be punished and for his actions, and I love him, and his family love him very much, too. And I know we're a very large Christian family, and we pray all the time. And I know we're a very large Christian family, and we pray all the time. And I just hope you consider a little bit, and please don't take him out of our lives forever. I know that I've died and not be able to spend time with him sometime before I go. I don't know. I am not good at this. I'm so sorry. Yeah. I know there's some good in Aiden. I don't know what happened to him that this caused, but I know there's some good in him. And I think if we find that out, what caused him to do this, you know, maybe we'll have more understanding of what happened. I don't know. I can't think. I just can't think. Sorry. I'm sorry.
Sorry. No further questions, Your Honor.
I'm sorry.
Those summers that you talked about that he would come, he and some of his brothers would come spend with you and maybe attend VBS, was that when he was younger, like 7, 8?
Yeah, she wouldn't let him come when he was too young because she always worried about him getting hurt, you know. So I think he was like 7, 8 years old when she finally realized, okay, he'll be all right. You know, he's old enough to not get hurt and not to worry so much. So I was allowed to take him.
Okay. But that stopped in the teenage years, right? VBS is something for like elementary age.
Nope.
To junior high.
It goes all the way up to the teenagers.
All the way through teenagers.
Still goes on, yeah.
How many summers did he do that with you?
Lots. I don't know. It's once a year, so you have to think it was like 7 or 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, all the way up till he was 14, so.
Okay. And you never observed anything living with Aiden that caused you concerns?
No.
Never observed? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No.
Okay. You never observed him, like, responding to stimuli, hearing voices, anything that you needed to report?
Well, all the kids talked about the house being haunted, and I think I told you that, and I thought myself I would hear things in this house whenever people were gone. It would just be me and one of my older grandsons. And the boys would always say that there was somebody in this house, you know.
But outside of thinking their house was haunted, you didn't see anything that you felt was a mental health concern, Mr. Fucci would need to be Baker-acted, anything like that?
Oh, no, no.
This is Aiden Fucci, who is facing charges of first-degree premeditated murder in St. Johns County, Florida, for the death of 13-year-old middle schooler and cheerleader Tristan Tyne Bailey. On Mother's Day, May 9th, 2021, 14-year-old Fucci was caught on a residential surveillance camera, walking around at 12:15 a.m. with Bailey. A later recording showed Fucci running alone in the opposite direction with his shoes in hand. By 3:31 a.m., the front porch camera at Bailey's house showed Fucci with shoes in hand. Later in the day, the camera at Fucci's home showed his mother taking his blood-soaked clothes for washing, clearly looking troubled as Fucci followed her around. Back at Bailey's home, it was 9:40 a.m. when her siblings went to wake her up to make Mother's Day breakfast together, only to discover she wasn't there or anywhere for that matter. After searching for a while and being unable to reach her through her phone, her mother, Stacy Bailey, called 911 around 10 a.m., sounding very upset. By 2:54 p.m., the police were investigating on site, and they soon found out from Trey, a mutual friend of Fucci and Bailey, that Fucci was the last person seen with the missing girl. Fucci was taken in for questioning, and his parents contacted an attorney. However, while waiting in the cop's car, Fucci decided to go online.
We're having fun in a f***ing cop car.
Yep. Tristan.
What's up, guys?
Tristan, yep. If you f***ing walk out the damn...
When you see this in a month...
This was while the search for Bailey was still ongoing, and everyone was worried sick. The officers were busy trying to get access to call and text records from Bailey's phone, while at the same time getting information from some of her acquaintances that Fucci had talked about. But obviously, the whole situation was a big comedy show for Fucci, as he seemed to find it funny that his friend was missing, because he soon posted this picture.
Fucci also snapped this photo.
The banner read, "Hey guys, has anybody seen Tristan lately?" Clearly, Fucci was completely unbothered, and this didn't sit well with the officers in charge, who immediately took his phone privileges away. By 6:06 p.m. on this fateful day, the police received a 911 call that ended the search for Bailey. This was the officer's report in the incident report narrative. "I was notified the sheriff's office received a call from Daniel Hart, who advised he located what appeared to be a deceased female in a wooded area east of the cul-de-sac on Saddlestone Drive. East of the cul-de-sac was a retention pond on the property of 4286 Racetrack Road, Durbin Creek Nursery. Patrol units responded and located a deceased female, later identified as Tristan Bailey. Deputy Robert Nagebaver pronounced Tristan deceased at 18:15 hours, and this was the state in which she was found. Tristan's hair appeared to be matted and red in color, which appeared to be blood. Tristan had multiple sharp force injury wounds on her hands, arms, and neck, and appeared to have additional sharp force trauma injuries to her back, evident by the holes in her shirt. This had become a homicide case. Fucci was now the main suspect in this homicide case, and his home was now part of an ongoing investigation. He was delivered to CID and placed in interview room 2, which had both audio and video surveillance. His father, Jason, and mother, Crystal Smith, were in the room with him, advising him not to say anything about any possible involvement.
All that, that's all I am. And then where we lived.
You know they found this girl, right?
Where?
In our neighborhood. Down our main street.
Is she good?
No, she's not.
She's dead. That's why this is very important. It's all on you right now.
This is my problem.
You were the last one
seen with her. So right now, it's facing you right now, son.
Throughout the interaction, Fucci kept his narrative the same, but the facts, including the result of the police examination of his body after he was arrested, didn't match up with the narrative he painted. Like the buck knife with its tip bent and fractured, the cuts on his hand, the scratches on his shoulder, and other signs showed that Fucci had struggled with someone or something recently. The question was, who? Outside the interrogation room, the autopsy examination was going on, and also, just as Fucci's mother had said, the police were combing their entire house from top to bottom. And the search started to bear fruit. The police found one pair of wet white Nike brand high-top athletic shoes with blood, located between the dresser and the west closet wall of Fucci's bedroom. A white short-sleeved t-shirt with blood was located under the dresser in the closet in his bedroom. A white piece of paper with handwriting and blood was located in his bedroom on the closet floor after the dresser was removed. A pair of wet blue denim jeans was inside the laundry basket along the east wall of his bedroom. There were other things like this.
What is this and where was it found?
That was another drawing and I don't recall where that one was found.
But it was in the vicinity of the desk?
Yes.
States 4Z. What is this and where was it found?
That is the drawing that was underneath the water bottle that was at the top of the first photograph.
Again, all these items were found in Aiden Fucci's bedroom.
Correct.
The police also got their hands on the house video surveillance system that showed Fucci and his mother washing his clothes. And they also got the neighbor's surveillance footage that showed Fucci and Bailey walking somewhere, with only Fucci returning with shoes in his hands. Fucci was charged with second-degree murder for his suspected involvement in Bailey's murder based on initial circumstances. He pleaded not guilty.
Fucci also suggested to investigators while Bailey was still missing that she may have gone to meet a drug dealer.
But the report from Bailey's autopsy was about to change everything. This was the examiner's report. Tristan appeared to have handprints on her upper left inner and outer thigh, inner left calf, inner right calf, and upper right thigh. The handprint on Tristan's upper left thigh appeared consistent with a right hand, and based on the pattern of the handprint, it was determined it would not have been her own hand. Then, the hard part. Tristan was found to have a total of 114 stab or cutting wounds, concentrated to the top of her head, back of her neck, the back of both of her arms and hands, and her back. Some of the injuries to her hands were penetrating, which indicated at the time of those injuries, her hands were on a hard object, most likely her head. Based on the nature of the injuries, it appeared the suspect was standing behind Tristan and came at a downward angle. Horrible news for any parent to hear, but the police had gotten their hands on the break they needed in this case, and more breaks were coming. The doctor who had performed the autopsy had pointed out that the cutting instrument used in the murder was a single-edged blade, approximately 4 inches in length, and they had recovered a metallic fragment from Bailey's skull that matched the fractured buck knife found at the crime scene. With this, Fucci's charge was changed to first-degree murder, as stated by the judge in his first trial. The reality of the situation was beginning to make sense, and the court began to see Fucci unravel.
Aiden Fucci looks around aimlessly, appearing to be confused during court on Wednesday.
What do you got going on? Why am I here? I just want to talk to my mom and dad. What's going on?
He rocks back and forth and mumbles about demons.
What's going on? I won't let you demons. I won't let you demons take my soul. You demons won't take my soul away.
This girlfriend even pointed out troubling behaviors Fucci would often exhibit when they were alone, even talking about a desire to commit murder.
He said that he would just walk at night or something and find like a random person walking to and just drag them in the woods and stab them. He said that he thinks it's gonna happen soon. He said I should expect it within the month.
She also confirmed in the incident report that Fucci would draw graphic pictures depicting mutilated bodies, adding that he claimed to hear voices in his head when he was angry. The voices would tell him he was worthless and a disappointment, and the voices would tell him to kill people when he was angry. These testimonies showed that this crime was 100% premeditated, and coming from a close friend with whom Fucci spent most of his time, wasn't helping his case. And the trial was delayed for a couple of months, and Fucci remained in holding without bond. Bailey's father completely threw Fucci's apology out of the window.
You know, to Mr. Fucci, February 6th, you finally admitted to your guilt in murdering my daughter, Tristan, after you clearly sat in this room and agreed to all of the questions and statements that were read by the judge and admitted that you knew what you were pleading to. At the end of that, you turned around, or you didn't even turn around, you made an apology. I want to be clear, saying that your insincere apology is not accepted. In no part did I sense any glimmer of any true remorse felt in your apology. Without question, I know that statement was for some self-serving purpose that you have. During all of the proceedings in which we've been present, including these past couple days, at no point in time have I seen anything from you that is any type of remorse. I loathe your very existence and know that there is nothing within you that reflects the smallest amount of goodness or human decency.
And this final white stone for his loss.
Lastly, I want to place this rock. And this rock represents the loss to our family and the world for all of the good Tristan would have done. Thank you for your time.
The judge allowed these impact statements, for which all families involved were grateful. Then came the sentencing.
This crime is clearly an outlier. And it was shocking, and it is shocking to the conscience. This court finds that the defendant's participation in this offense was not the result of immaturity or impetuosity. He understood the risks and consequences of his actions. He previously told his girlfriend that he was going to do this. That clearly shows that he had been planning it. He attempted to cover it up by disposing of the murder weapon and throwing it into a lake. He then attempted to conceal evidence by hiding his shoes and shirt and jeans, taking a shower, stealthily entering his home, And then the actions immediately after, with the Snapchat videos in the back of the police car and the story that he made up about pushing her and her hitting her head, which was clearly refuted by the video evidence in this case. All of that shows, and this court finds, that this was not an immature or an impetuous type of crime. It makes it unique. It makes it extraordinary. What is also very troubling is that this crime had no motive. This was not done out of greed. It was not done in retaliation, retribution, or revenge. It was not a crime of passion. It was not a crime that was committed because he felt rejected by her. It was not done in a fit of uncontrollable anger. There was no reason. There was no purpose. It was done for no other reason than to satisfy this defendant's internal desire to feel what it was like to kill someone. It was committed in a cold, calculated, and premeditated manner without any pretense for moral or legal justification, and it was heinous, atrocious, and cruel. This factor and this factor alone makes this case and this defendant more than just unique. It is for this reason and all of the reasons previously stated that leads this court to the conclusion that there is only one appropriate sentence in this case. Mr. Fucci, if you and your attorneys would please rise. Counsel, is there any legal reason why this court cannot impose sentence at this time?
No, sir.
Mr. Fucci, having entered a plea of guilty to the crime of first-degree murder, I adjudicate you guilty of the premeditated first-degree murder of Tristan Bailey. I sentence you to life in prison. Because of your age, you are eligible for a review of the sentence in 25 years. I order the Department of Corrections to notify you when you are eligible to apply for your review hearing. Madam Clerk, if you will please impose the minimum fines and court costs. Mr. Fucci, you have 30 days to appeal the legality of this court's sentence. If you wish to appeal but cannot afford an attorney.
Such an incredibly horrific, sad, sad story. When I watched this video the other day, I felt sorry, very deeply, deeply sorry for this little girl's family and her dad. And you know, when they find a body or something, someone has to go and look at the body or the remains and identify them. And I'm assuming, I don't know, it didn't say, but one would assume it was probably the father that had to do that. That family's life is just destroyed forever because of this. It's unspeakable, the emotion you get. But as I watched this video, I also felt a deep compassion and sadness and heaviness for the kid and his family who committed the crime. I don't know why, I just did. I mean, it's a kid, obviously demon-possessed with all sorts of dark spirits. We don't know what's happened to him in his childhood or what's, you know, what there can be family spirits that are passed down throughout generations. We don't know. But it's just very sad on both sides. I mean, can you imagine also being a parent and finding out your beloved child did something like that? The horrible things. It's something that many of us don't want to imagine. And we never want to imagine it. But what does Jesus tell us we're supposed to do? Does Jesus clarify, well, visit the prisoners and visit the murderers and all this kind of stuff, except for, no, We're supposed to be different. That's why we're called a peculiar people. Now, I'm not saying or advocating that anyone who commits such a crime should get away with such a thing and not take the punishment that the world has to offer. You should be punished for that. But as Christians, we're supposed to visit these people, pray for them, witness to them, show them the love of Christ. Imagine Jesus going to the cross, taking the beating and the punishment and the death sentence for something that he did not do because he was innocent. Jesus dined with the sinners. Look at all the disciples that followed him, sinners. All of us have been worthy of the death sentence. From the time we were born into this world, we were born sinners. Every sin we have committed, pretty much, according to the Bible, is worthy of death. But yet here we are, and God has had mercy on us. Many of us are being punished because we continue to disobey God. But if it wasn't for Jesus Christ and his great love and what he did for us, we would all be dead right now because we would have had to pay the penalty. Again, I do not make light of the horrible crime that this kid committed against this girl, not by any stretch. I'm not diluting the suffering of the family or the families involved or anything like that. All I'm merely talking about is, according to Jesus, we are supposed to visit those in prison, meaning show them compassion, mercy, love, kindness, witness to them, give them the testimony of Jesus, pray for them. That's what we're supposed to do. Sometimes those things can be easier said than done. I mean, I don't think any of us have any tolerance when we hear about something happening to a kid, but please keep in mind, the one who committed the crime was also a kid. You know what it makes me do? It makes me that much more angry at the devil, because the devil has clearly, through this boy, destroyed so many people's lives, tormented a young girl who was murdered. And not only that, he has destroyed his own life. So we have to look at who is the real enemy in the world and in the church, causing all of these things. Who is really responsible for these things? It's the kingdom of hell. But yet we, just like puppets, allow ourselves to be used by the kingdom of hell. Here's another thing. This gets really deep. Every time we sin against God, every time we disobey the Lord, and we go out and do terrible things that we know the Bible tells us not to do, those same demons operating in that young man in that video that committed those horrible crimes, the same God of the flesh that that boy served by doing what he did, we're serving. We are serving the same God of the flesh, Satan himself. Every time we sin, every time we disobey God, as that boy did right there, and anyone else who does things like that. We're supposed to be the light of the world. Anyhow, I understand this message is a hard one to stomach, but what we are to do as Christians is clear, even if it's insanely hard, even if it's insanely painful. But how can we visit prisoners? How can we do that? Because, you know, we all can't exactly just drive to another state, go to a prison and say, hey, I'm here to visit this person. I saw them on the news. How can we visit them? Well, you can write them a snail mail letter. There are certain rules and regulations about that that you have to kind of read about. But you can write to people who are in prison, send them letters. You can witness to them about the Lord. You can't send anything else, just a plain letter, 8x10. Piece of paper. It can be up to 15 pages long, maximum, front and back. But you can write them a letter, encouraging them for Christ, telling them they can be forgiven. Share some scriptures. Share some scriptures. Tell them there is freedom through Jesus Christ. While they will have to pay the penalty in the flesh, and they may not be forgiven in the fleshly places, there is a God who loves them and wants to forgive them. There is a God who's bigger than all of their sins, bigger than this whole entire world, who loves them, who wants to forgive them. That's what we're supposed to do as believers, and it can be so hard when you hear about horrible things like that. How do you witness to someone like that? How do you forgive someone like that? How do you show compassion or mercy or love to someone who has done something so absolutely horrible? Well, it's because we are to walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh, and we are to obey Jesus Christ. That's exactly how. Obeying Jesus means we do things we don't want to do. We do things we don't feel like doing. We do things that go against what the flesh kingdom does, or what they would do, or what they would feel, or what they would say. That's what being a believer is. Obeying Jesus Christ, Yeshua. And let me put it to you this way too. If the church was doing what it is supposed to be doing, and if we had the power of the Holy Spirit like we're supposed to have, but we're too busy living in the flesh, you would see less of these things happening. Where is the church? Aren't we supposed to be praying for all of these people? Isn't the church supposed to be the city on the hill, the light to the world? Where are we? We're hiding our light. We're hiding our light beneath, as the Bible says, a bushel or a basket. What good is it then? My desire is that this video blessed you and made you to really think, and that you will go to the Lord about these things, search the Bible about these things, be prayerful about these things, and in all things, obey the Lord God Almighty. There's a whole world of sinners and a whole world of wickedness waiting for the church to rise up and love it and pray for it and deliver it, just as God, the Lord God Almighty, and his son Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ, will deliver us and set us free from the bondages of wickedness. God bless all of you. Thank you for joining me. Please remember to like, share, and subscribe. And also remember that I do rely 100% on your support. So if you could, because I'm in really bad shape right now financially and have had a lot of medical things going on, please send your support to me via PayPal or my P.O. Box. The information is on the screen. I would genuinely appreciate it if you could support what I'm trying to do all over social media. God bless you for that. And thank you to those of you who have been faithfully sowing into what I'm doing. God knows who you are. I know who you are, and I really appreciate you. Also, don't forget to subscribe to my website, www.truthhuntersshow.com. It is a free WordPress site. There's no ads on it, no spam, nothing. And I am promoting that because of the horrid, horrid censorship and shadow banning here on YouTube. Please help me overcome that. Go over and subscribe to my website. I keep checking the numbers of subscribers. I haven't seen it grow in weeks. You are greatly helping me out by doing that. What do I gain from it? Well, what I gain is you see the notifications when I post a video. I'm posting my videos, and also I post them as a podcast on the website. Doug Diamond is on there. He does prophecy news type of stuff. We share it, but we have nothing to gain other than it helps out because of the censorship, because people aren't getting my alerts. People get unsubscribed. So please, please, please go to my free, 100% free website and subscribe to it. Thank you so much in advance. I hope this message has blessed you. And I know I just said that a minute ago, but I really do hope it has blessed you. I hope you think about what I've said, because when the world sees us, they're supposed to see Jesus, not us. Would Jesus forgive a sinner? Would Jesus forgive a murderer? Does Jesus forgive? Does God Almighty the Father forgive? Yes. When someone truly repents, he forgives. He totally forgives when someone truly repents. And he forgives us when we repent. Who are we? We're no better than anyone else. So this is very important to think about. We are supposed to have the image in the things that we do that come from our heart first of Jesus Christ. God bless you. God bless you all so much. Praying for you. I hope that you're continuing to pray for me. Have a beautiful day. And until next time, be absolutely wonderfully blessed.
What's going on? I won't let you demons. I won't let you demons take my soul. You demons won't take my soul away. I won't let you demons steal my soul.
Fucci continues rocking back and forth, flipping his hair back, appearing to not know where he is.
What is going on? Why am I here? I just want to talk to my mom and dad. What's going on?